Welcome, everybody. We're going to start with an industry overview. The first thing you need to know is that anywhere there is information, some of it has to be voiced. Think of the medical industry. Tons and tons of complex information, changing all the time. Some of it has to be voiced. But really, overall, from students that put PowerPoint presentations online and pay someone to voice their presentation, to Super Bowl commercials, to audiobooks, animation, e-learning, corporate IVR, ADR, promos, imaging, whatever it may be, we will personalize a training and career plan for you. So I'm Dave Larson. I'm a co-founder here at the School of Acting and Voiceover. Together with my other co-founder, my wife, Sarah, we've done over 20,000 recorded one-on-one coaching sessions between us. When I was doing stand-up comedy and improv in the 1980s, she was already one of the highest paid voice talent in the Midwest. We've worked with more than one talent that has made six figures in their first 6 months. But more importantly, we've helped tons of complete beginners get agents and get paid. How could we possibly have coached so many people? First of all, we have put on 76 voice acting expos to date, and we have recorded as many as 350 live one-on-one coaching sessions in a single day at the Voice Acting Expo. Now, we're doing smaller, more personalized training at the expo nowadays. It's all online, but we've been at this a long time. With other top coaches we hire to work with you, both online and through the Voice Acting Expo, I personally have co-coached and worked with, over three dozen of the top people in the industry, including a number of talent agents, talent agency owners, recording studio owners. They cast a lot of spots. They're kind of like agents. A bunch of ad agency owners. These are the people who decide whether your audition is what the client wants and who are going to direct you if you win the audition. We've worked with and brought all the voice coaches at the Guthrie to you, many of the top talent from different top agencies, award-winning producers, top people from LA, New York, Chicago, and locally. Basically, I mention this because instead of telling you what I think, I've asked these people in the industry how things are, and I'm here to tell you what it is that they told me. Something you should know is that our main classes are not open to the public. The Voice Acting Expo is. That's the only training open to anyone. You have to audition or be invited. That said, we accept most of the people who are referred to us. But we really don't want people just signing up online. Some people really shouldn't do voiceover, so opening our training to just anyone who can go to a webpage and sign up kind of scares the heck out of us. So we don't take just anyone. I know some of you taking this workshop already have an open invitation from us. Some of you need to take another step or two before you're ready to get serious about this. One of the real important things to know about the industry is that there was essentially a corporate takeover of the agency system a couple of years ago, something called Voice Bank. And through that kind of hostile change, Voice Bank was something that every agency in North America was a member of. So this really was the agency system. This was how the auditions got funneled to you. And you used to have an agent because all those auditions were exclusive, meaning if an ad agency or a Fortune 500 company put one of their auditions into the Voice Bank system, nobody else could see it. So if you didn't have an agent, you would never be able to see or compete for those auditions. Losing the Voice Bank system means that agencies have lost, they're still trying to recover, but, between 30 and 80% of their auditions, depending on the agency. Another thing you need to know, a lot of people think that radio is a very important part of voiceover. And certainly there are some high-paid national spots where some of that production goes through and gets played on the radio. And there are some DJs who are highly paid voice talent. But the bulk of what you hear on the radio, the person voicing it got paid pennies. You might be surprised to hear that of all the money spent on voiceover in North America, the money spent on voice talent for radio is less than 1%. It's important to know this because agents know this, and they don't believe that somebody who has been a radio DJ and created ads as a radio DJ is a voice talent. People in radio say, hey, I'm a voice talent. I've been voicing these commercials. And you're making $15 an hour, and you're getting it done in 60 seconds, reading a 30-second spot, and then putting it into the system, and you're doing it after the end of your shift. A lot of radio talent think of the ads they have to voice as kind of unpaid overtime. Agents don't think of that as voiceover. Sure it is, but it's not high-paid voiceover. So you've kind of got to recalibrate your thinking if you think a lot of what you hear on the radio constitutes people making money doing voiceover. A lot of it really doesn't. Now, some people say, well, what about union? How much do union actors make? I've got information that's a few years old. I've calibrated it into $20. But 80% of union actors making less than $8,000 a year. So just being union, and that was all union actors, not just voice talent, all union actors. Just being union is not a big deal. A lot of voiceover, when you look at the casting, it will say union or non. You don't have to be union. And the Twin Cities in particular, the biggest union shop, Wayman, Wayman Models and Talent, Susan Wayman, owner-founder, has pointed out if you want to work union in the Twin Cities, you have to be FICOR. Now, you probably haven't heard that term. What FICOR means, it's the union legal provision that allows a union talent to work non-union. Wayman actually got out of the union voiceover business years ago. So, short version, forget about union. You don't have to be union. You don't even have to think about it to get started in voiceover. Part of what you need to know about the industry is that it's primarily a cold read business. Theater, film, lots of other kind of acting. You have time to develop your character, to get to know who you're talking to. A lot of the writing is designed to sound human. In voiceover, not so much. And a lot of what we're looking for is what can you do on your first read or your second read. We want real people. If you come in with sort of a vocal style or a character voice and you don't sound like a real person, you're going to get rejected almost immediately. Agents reject 95% of the demos, and I have asked them, and this is their information, and they reject most of them in 3 seconds or less. I'll talk a little bit about that in a bit, but I wanted to give you kind of an overview of the industry. I'm concentrating on those surprising facts to help you recalibrate as to what we're talking about here. Another thing is, everybody does commercials. It doesn't matter if you're interested in animation or audiobooks or what it is. If somebody says, hey, could you do this commercial? There are all kinds of commercials. So there are some that are perfect for you, your approach, your sound, your personality, and there's plenty that aren't. Everybody in the industry is looking for people that make us want to listen to you, not people that lecture, not people that sell or argue, not announcers, real people we want to listen to. Those of you who are familiar with animation voiceover probably know who Phil Lamar is. He has over 450 IMDb credits, and a quote from him is, what kind of work does he do? I do the work they let me do. He does theater, he does animation voiceover, he does any kind of acting work that he can get, as does everybody else. So if you want to move forwards in voiceover, you really don't want to shut the door on certain kinds of voiceover. That said, you do have to focus on what's most realistic for you and where your area of interest is, but you don't want to close doors before you really know what's behind them. I'm just going over the industry overview here. Another thing people say is, well, geez, I'm going to need some expensive equipment. In an interview on April 10th of this year, 2020, Phil Lamar pointed out that he was working from home using an inexpensive microphone. That interview's in The Hollywood Reporter. You can read that. I don't want you to be misled by that, but the amount of money you may want to spend on equipment can be a lot less than you think. We're going to talk about the difference in the industry working from an online marketplace versus having an agent versus doing business networking. And I'm also going to point out what we kind of call the barista problem, meaning how do you make money while you're waiting for your voiceover income to increase. In the next section of this workshop, I'm essentially going to touch on what are the stages from being a complete beginner to becoming a working talent. In our main classes, you have assignments 3 to 6 times each week, sometimes for just 10 minutes. Other times, maybe you're in a 90-minute workshop, or you're getting in more of the hours of the recorded one-on-one coaching that we give you, or you're recording homework, or you're consulting with your coach on your brand voice evaluation, or you're customizing a career plan. Maybe you're doing your daily articulation or practicing your personalized acting process exercises. Essentially, we really want to give you all we can to get you ready, but also so that you can work from home, practice from home, so you can stop needing a coach and stop taking training and continue to build your skills and build your business. The basic principle, the way we look at it, is get in and move up. Don't wait until you're totally ready in some areas. There's a lot of ways that you can get started that help you out and don't hurt you, that don't take a lot of time and don't take a lot of money. What in business, of course, we call the low-hanging fruit, the things that are valuable to do and easy to do. For example, on every email you send, you can automatically include a button at the bottom of the email. That's called an email signature, and every program and website and software out there that does email will allow you to create that. That button can say, "Hear my voice. Hear my voice." Lots of people will click it. You just link it to a sample of your voice, reading 2 or 3 short commercials. It's really easy marketing. Now, yeah, you've got to get your voice samples together, and you've got to get some commercial music behind them. But commercial music designed for voiceover makes everybody sound good. So you can get started letting people know you do voiceover real easily. I'm just throwing that out as a simple example of something that's not hugely complicated, where you're basically doing the thing that most people feel is hardest, marketing themselves, selling themselves, networking. A button at the bottom of your email works in all those three areas, and it doesn't take a lot of effort. So we've got a lot of simple things like that we can help you move towards and get started on. You need to develop your personal acting process, the steps you take to give your best performance. So what the heck does that mean, right? So someone says, "I'm getting ready to perform. What's the first step?" Warm up. Now, I'm keeping it simple, but this is absolutely true. You need to open your range. I'm going to talk a little more about that in the more advanced workshop. People then say, "What happens after I warm up?" Look at the script. Look for transitions. I like to take a highlighter, a darker one, I don't know, green or pink or blue or something, and I read the script, and anywhere I see that it kind of changes, I put a dot. So maybe it changes from problem to solution, right? They're saying, "And not all the children survived. But today, thanks to your donations." Obviously, a lot of scripts have a problem to solution transition, or maybe sort of a worry to relief. You're going to notice that. You're going to put a dot there. You're going to decide what happens. If it's changing from worry to relief, we have to hear that happen, and we have to believe that. So if you've got a short script, let's say it's a 30-second commercial, and you put 2 dots in it, you've noticed 2 transitions. Now, you can notice a lot of transitions or fewer transitions. It's all valid depending on your approach to doing the acting. Let's just say, for example, you found 2 transitions. Everything from the beginning to the first transition, that's the beginning. Everything between the 2 transitions, that's the middle. You hear it coming, right? Everything after that last transition, that's the end. You've kind of taken a simple step into some more advanced script analysis. You've identified a beginning, middle, and end to the script. You've identified kind of the 3-act play. And as you learn more about this, you can learn what to expect in those areas. The second step in an acting process is look at the script, find the transitions, make some decisions. This is also where you have to pick between the different flavors of why should we listen to you. That's a little more advanced, But that's part of what we do in your brand voice evaluation and in helping you figure out, you know, what your money voice is, where you should concentrate most of your effort. I'll cover this more in a more advanced workshop, but the first flavor is being somebody who realizes what a big deal it is that you're talking about. You have to not make a big deal out of the topic. You have to show us how you're the kind of person who knows the difference between things that matter and things that don't, and make it clear that what you're talking about is something that matters. The second flavor, essentially, why do we listen to you, is being very relaxed and sensitive. The kind of person you might think about that they're easy to interrupt because they give you so much respect, except you never do interrupt them because you can feel how much they know just how you feel. That's often what's called approachable in voiceover. And that's the second flavor. The third flavor, and there's only three, and you combine them together, and when you pick out transitions in a script, you kind of have to decide how the flavor changes. The third flavor is kind of giving into the kid in you and letting out some immature kind of mischief. For example, you don't sell by saying, "Oh my gosh, I love this ice cream. You should try this." You sell by saying, "Oh my gosh, I love this ice cream. Nobody can have any but me." You want to be selfish. We want to believe that you want it, not that you're selling it. Be the person that wants things, not the person that sells things. We're attracted to, in other words, we want to listen to somebody who wants something, somebody who enjoys something, somebody who's having fun, not somebody who's trying to twist our arm. Okay, so the third step in an acting process, what do you do after you look at the script and make some of these decisions? This is the final step. It's to sound like you're in a conversation with a real person. So if you follow an acting process that has these stages, warm up, make some decisions, study the script, and sound like you're talking to a real person, you're going to give a better performance more easily than if you just stand up and hope that gold falls out of your mouth. The next section of the workshop here, which is some home practice tips. You don't have to take any other training to start getting better. I'm happy to get you started on practicing from home. The first thing that everybody has to practice is we have to practice our speech rhythm. There's a couple of very simple examples. We all know kind of the rhythm of a word, right? Now, if you look into what is the correct pronunciation of different words, you'll see that they talk about primary stress or unstressed syllables or sometimes secondary stress. Really, what they're doing is they're telling you about the rhythm of that word. You don't have to worry about that most of the time because if you speak the language, you already know it intuitively. For example, people say Canada. They don't say Canada. Na is de-stressed. It's not supposed to be Canada, it's Canada. And you could be a little off and you could say Canada, and that's wrong too. But you don't have a problem with that. You say Canada, so you don't have to worry about that. However, when we combine a number of words, there are also proper ways to get through the rhythm of these groups of words, and most people don't realize it. Practice the word T-O, two. And you're going to need to practice anything that has an ing in it. The reason for that is we tend to either under-articulate, we say it wrong, or in trying to say it correctly, we overstress. So if I were to say to you, "I'm going to downtown," casually, I might say it something like this, "I'm going to downtown." Now, if it's written as "I am going to downtown," whoever wrote that is paying you to read it as written. They don't want you to contract the ing. They don't want you to say "going." They want you to say "going." But you can't stress the ing. You can't say "going." That's the wrong rhythm. So here's the trick. Say a phrase casually. Don't worry about your articulation. Get the rhythm right. We call that the cadence. And then say the cadence a couple of times and then change the articulation. So here's how that works. I'm going to say, I am going to downtown. But I'm going to say it very casually a couple times, and then I'm going to fix my articulation. Okay? So here's how it goes. I'm going to downtown. I'm going to downtown. I'm going to downtown. In the last one, I said, I am going to downtown. I said it in a casual cadence. So listen again. I'm going to downtown. I'm going to downtown. I'm going to downtown. You hear that? It's more natural. You don't say, I am going to downtown. Too much stress. I'm going to downtown. I'm going to downtown. I'm going to downtown. Notice how the to sometimes sounds like an ta. That's incorrect. It should be to, but not too overstressed. Sometimes you may underarticulate the T, right? I say, I'm going to downtown. I'm saying duh. Downtown. I'm saying D-U-H instead of T-O. So I've got to articulate that T a little bit, but I can't overdo it or it sounds unnatural. So practice phrases that have T-O and I-N-G and make the I-N-G feel like it's contracted, going, but actually say it correctly, going, 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 not going. That's something you have to practice. Now, at theschoolofvoiceover.com, we have thousands of scripts. Print some. Here's how you practice. Read the last third first. Sometimes there's a twist. Find out what it is before you read it from the top. So read the last third and then read from the top. And now you've got an idea of the script. Just read it to yourself. Now practice it out loud. Practice the last sentence and say it three times. So you're going to perform the last sentence of the script three times. If the last sentence is very short, do the last two sentences. You're getting an idea of what's happening in that sentence, but you're not being biased by having gone through the whole script. Now, do the second to last sentence three times. Work your way through the script backwards and say each sentence three times and have some fun. Be loose. Try to get your point across. Try to feel what the feeling is. Now go from the top. You should have a pretty good idea already of what's happening in the script. Mark some transitions, at least two in a short script, no more than maybe five, and decide what happens at the transition. Again, maybe it goes from worry to relief. Practice those transitions. Change your body language. Change your facial expression. Change what you're thinking about. Think about something that worries you. Think about something you're glad never happened or that you don't have to worry about. Use some acting. That's how you practice a script. You don't spend a lot of time on it. You've got to get familiar with the script and give your best performance and then make some notes to yourself. How did you do? Where was there a problem? Don't record and listen back to yourself. I know that's radical, but this is an acting job. If you listen to yourself, you're going to fix all kinds of things that you hear, and your acting is going to be ruined. You've got to practice being an actor. Okay, one of the things you're going to find out when you start practicing is what I call your radar. Your radar is broken. Someone may coach you and say, okay, go a little faster here. Put a little smile in there. Use a little body language. They'll give you some direction and you'll go, oh, I understand what you're asking for. And then you'll try to do it and it won't happen. And you'll be surprised. You understood what you were supposed to do, but you didn't do it. That happens a lot when you're new. It won't happen with everything, but it will happen with some things. That's one of the reasons you need to practice. We've got a bunch of scripts online. Print them out. Start practicing. We've set up time-limited free online membership for you to theschoolofvoiceover.com. You have links to that website in the email that you received before this workshop. If you've already visited the site from any one of those links, it should have set a cookie. Basically, it's going to remember you. So you can visit the schoolofvoiceover.com website without needing to do anything else. Just visit and start reading. Start studying. Note that we are sometimes turning things on and off. So sometimes you probably shouldn't notice things are turned off, but sometimes the site is open to other visitors as well. Regardless, take advantage of that. Study the information that we are making available to you online. Okay, so that's the end of the beginning workshop. You should have already done an evaluation call with some scripts so we can give you some idea of where you're at. Do follow up and be in touch. We're going to have an email evaluation following this workshop to give you some additional steps that you can pursue for yourself. Thank you very much for attending, and we're now going to move on to the more advanced workshop for those of you who have signed up for that.